In Israel, they take the idea of being a so-called bastard very seriously. They're not referring to the insult, but to the children born outside of an officially recognized Jewish marriage. It's especially hard on the children of women who have remarried or repartnered without an official Jewish divorce. There's even a state-sanctioned adultery blacklist. Now one Jewish lawyer is fighting this blacklist. Susan Weiss is founder of the Center of Women's Justice. RN's Iris Makler caught up with her in downtown Jerusalem.
The people that are interpreting the laws here are men, only men, and very religious Orthodox men who tend to interpret the law in a way that is very restrictive. Very often, the religious feminists will say that, oh, the problem really isn't with the system itself. The problem is with who is running the system. I'm not sure that that's really right, actually. We have rules that aren't consonant with modern values or modern ways of doing things. So on one hand, we have Jewish law, which doesn't allow a woman to get divorced until her husband says, I do. And on the other hand, we have Muslim law, which allows a man to divorce his wife on a whim just by saying, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced.
But let me ask you a broader question. So you can't get divorced. So what?
Why don't women just ignore it and get on with their lives? Because if they're of childbearing years and they want to really get on with their life and have children, their children will be ostracized as bastards or mamzerim.
Tell me what that means. What happens to her husband's children from his new relationship, and what happens to her children from her new relationship?
They aren't treated equally. In other words, a man can get on with his life and he can have a whole new life with a woman, and he can have children, and his children will not be ostracized. Because according to biblical law, he could have taken more than one wife.
His wife has another relationship, has a child. What happens to her child?
All of her children would be branded as mamzerim, illicit children.
And the rules about a mamzer, a bastard or illicit child, are that he can't marry within the community, he
Correct.
Or she?
Correct. That child is not allowed forever, and his children forever cannot marry within the community. But I think you should know that the stigma of bastard goes beyond the woman who is unfaithful. Any child born of incest is stigmatized. In other words, if a father, you know, sleeps with his daughter.
Probably rapes his daughter.
Rapes his daughter, right. You know, even if a woman is married happily and gets raped, the child would be stigmatized. But all those things result in children who are bastards.
I want to take just the rules of the bastards, so-called, because that is the blacklist, isn't it?
The first type of person can come and be on the blacklist is someone who came and said they were a man, but they're actually a woman and they're same sex. Then we have converts, okay? Two people of different religions can't marry. So they can put you on the blacklist if you've come and you've asked to marry a Jew, and it turns out that you're not a Jew. People who are converts that are for whatever reason not recognized, whether it's because they don't come with the proper pedigree or whether it's because the rabbis don't think that they're adhering to what they determine as who is a Jew. Okay, I can sin and converts cannot. So sinning converts, or what I call wayward converts, get on the list. If you're a wayward woman, if you were suspected of having committed adultery, you can get put on the blacklist, because if you want to remarry, you can't marry your husband or your alleged lover. So we have more people on the blacklist, okay? So we have same-sex, converts, children of women who've fornicated outside of their holy matrimony.
Or been raped.
Or been raped. Those are the mamzerim children, innocent children. That has to be emphasized.
And who holds this blacklist?
The rabbinate holds a blacklist. They claim to hold it very close to its chest. In 2008, we went to the rabbinic court and, through the Freedom of Information Act, asked them to tell us how many people are on the blacklist and how it divides up. I think the majority, if I remember correctly, are non-Jews.
And then, so converts.
Converts. And then the others get divided up. The state is very, very reluctant to throw out this blacklist. I mean, we went out, what we tried to do here at the Center for Women's Justice is we tried to challenge the blacklist for like individual cases. In other words, so we went and said, throw out the blacklist with respect to wayward women. Throw out the blacklist with respect to innocent children. So we tried to break it down. We haven't gotten to where we want to be with this because the Supreme Court's very reluctant to step on the toes of the rabbinic establishment in any way.
So what's the impact of that when Israel's civil courts step back?
I think that this is basically justifying what I call an inquisition. In other words, allowing the state to enforce religious rules. They are the investigator, they are the inquisitor, right? They are the executive branch, and they're also the judicial branch of these matters. I don't think the state realizes what's happening, actually.
In that list, there was something like 5,000 people affected that we know of. Let's say it's 5,000. Let's even say it's 10,000. They're not bound to marry only in the state of Israel. They can go to Cyprus and get married, like gay people do.
Right. Well, gay people could go to Canada. Why do they want Americans to recognize their right to marry? Why? Because I think the state has to protect the human rights of its individual citizens, okay? This is one of the challenges that we have here in Israel, is that people are saying, well, to protect the Jewish nature of the state, we have to keep these rules in place. And I say, no, we don't have to keep these biblical rules in place. There's no reason that we have to allow for such severe infringements on the human rights of the citizens, and I don't think there's anything that can justify that.
Susan Weiss, founder of the Center of Women's Justice in Jerusalem, speaking with Iris Mackler for the Religion and Ethics Report.